Now, faith is word activated. The Bible says this, Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Now, if you've ever read a verse in the Bible and all of a sudden it hits you and all of a sudden you thought, I can do this. You have just had your faith activated by the word of God.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the Bible teaching ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue with a series called 40 Days in the Word. In these lessons, Rick makes it possible for anyone to study and understand what the Word of God really says. Whether you've just started studying the Bible, you've been studying for a while, or you're a biblical scholar, there's something for you in this amazing series. Now, in just a few moments, we're going to tell you about a great video resource that is the perfect complement to this audio series called the 40 Days in the Word Study Kit, which includes a DVD and workbook. It's perfect for your own study time or your time with your small group. You can take a sneak peek at it while you listen today just by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word daily to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called How the Bible Changes Us.
I'll never forget, many, many years ago, I was in another city, and at the end of a service I had spoken, and a young woman came up to me and she just began to pour out a really sad story and all of the bad mistakes she'd made with her life. And she was distraught. She was weeping profusely. And she was saying, I feel so guilty. And she was literally sobbing with these deep heaves of, I feel so guilty. And I said, have you got a minute for me to show you what the Bible says, what God's word says about guilt? And I began to take her through scripture after scripture, like 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins to God, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I call that the soap dish verse. God says, I'm going to give you a bath. I'm not only going to just forgive you, I'm going to wipe it out. We're going to get rid of all the dirt in your life. That's a cleaning verse. That's a disinfecting verse. And I took it to verses like Romans 8, verse 1, that says, there's now no condemnation. That means none, zero, zip, none. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You mean all the things I've done wrong in my life, God's not going to punish me for it? Nope. Why? Because Jesus already took that punishment on the cross. What about the sins I commit tomorrow? Those two. No condemnation. That is such a guilt reliever. That is such a shame reducer. That is such a regret eliminator and eradicator. The Bible was given to cleanse our lives from guilt. Let me show you a couple verses. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25 to 26. Christ loved the church, and he gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. Circle that phrase, through the word. What is he saying? Is that when I take the word of God and I fill my mind with it, it washes my mind, it washes my body, it cleanses the dirt, the junk, the grime, the grit, the shame, the sin, all out of my life. That's what God's word does. It makes me clean inside. It is the spiritual cleansing, so my guilt is eradicated. Jesus once told the 12 followers, his disciples, this, John 15:3, you are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. There is a cleansing power in this book that when I read it, it removes the guilt out of my life by teaching me the truth.
We'll continue our series, 40 Days in the Word, in just a few moments. If you'd like to connect with Rick on Facebook, Twitter, or LinkedIn, just go to PastorRick.com and click on his social media links. And while you're at it, go ahead and sign up for his free Daily Hope email devotional and take a look at all the other helpful resources. That's PastorRick.com, or you can just text the word DAILY to 99000. The second half of today's lesson is coming up.
Is it enough to just love the Word and learn the Word? Pastor Rick Warren says, no. If we want to see lasting changes and real growth in our lives, we've got to live the Word too. That's why he's created a tool to help you do just that. It's called the 40 Days in the Word Study Kit. The kit includes 6 video sessions on DVD and a 206-page, 2-color workbook. In the workbook, you'll find 6 easy-to-learn methods for reading and meditating on Scripture. These are the very methods that Pastor Rick uses in his own personal daily quiet time. A personal 40 Days in the Word journal. And Bible verse memorization cards with the 20 Bible verses every believer should memorize. You'll also find a special section called How Can We Know the Bible Came from God? And a guide for choosing which translation of the Bible is right for you. We'll send you a copy of the DVD and workbook as our way of saying thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy of this amazing study tool. That's PastorRick.com, or you can call 800-600-5004. Again, call 800-600-5004. If you've got a smartphone or tablet, just text the word DAILY to 99000. Thanks so much for your support.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Pastor Rick Warren.
So, the Word of God can recreate my life and it can eradicate my guilt. Number 3, this is a big one. It activates my faith. It not only eliminates or eradicates my guilt, it activates my faith. And that is so important because it gives me confidence. You know what I've discovered today? Most people are not confident. Most people are not courageous. Most people are flat out scared to death. They're afraid to take risks. They're fear of failure. They're afraid of dying. They're filled with all kinds of fears. They're not walking confidently because they're not people of faith. Now, faith is word activated. The Bible says this, Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Now, if you've ever read a verse in the Bible and all of a sudden it hits you and all of a sudden you thought, I can do this. You have just had your faith activated by the word of God. If you've ever been in a service where Pastor Tom or I or some other pastor was teaching, or you've been in a Bible study and you heard the word of God and all of a sudden you thought, I can do this. I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. You just had your faith activated by the word of God. See, this is the difference between the Bible and self-help books. Self-help books often tell you some good stuff. They can tell you the right thing to do. They just don't give you the power to do it. I mean, you read a self-help book that says, now, if you really want to succeed in life, you need to stop worrying. Oh, that's helpful. Okay. Give up all your bad habits. Oh, that's good too. And it'll tell you all the right things to do, and they're right about a number of those things. Stop thinking so negatively. But you don't know how to stop it. You don't have the power because those books aren't living. They're not alive. But the power of God's word is it not only tells you what to do, it gives you the power to do it. And it increases your faith. When I read these thousands of promises in the Bible where God says, if you do this and this, this, I will do this, this, and this, that increases my expectation. It gives me confidence. You know, some of you know this story that at the end of the first year of Saddleback Church, when Kay and I started the church in 1980, at the end of the first year, I was standing up speaking and I fainted. I just passed out. And I went into a period of depression. It was literally my burnout. I had my midlife crisis at age 25. You know, I wanted to get it over early. So when I hit my 40s, I just went right through it. But I was working so hard and working 18 hours a day and loving every minute of it, not taking time off. And I just burned out physically, emotionally, spiritually. And during 1981, for that entire month, I was depressed for the entire year. It's like I was walking around with a cloud over my head. And I really didn't know how to get out of it. And I was doing everything I could, but I was just going to keep moving forward. You know, as I've said many times, what do you do when you're going through hell? You keep going. You don't want to stay there. You certainly don't want to make camp. You don't want to park in hell. When you're going through hell, you just keep going. And so my prayer was not, oh God, do something really great in my life. My prayer was, God, get me through the weekend. And I just kept doing that. But during that time, I was learning things that was preparing me in that year of darkness, was preparing me to handle enormous levels of stress that would break most people. And to be able to manage all kinds of balls at the same time. I learned some skills and some character development there I would have never learned if I hadn't gone through a year of depression. Because during that year of depression, I was forced to read this book. And I was reading it and reading it and reading it and reading it and reading it because I needed my faith activated. And as I would read it and read it and read it, I found myself gaining more and more courage, gaining more and more strength, gaining more and more confidence. So I thought, I can do this. My confidence isn't in me. My confidence is in Christ. But I can do this because God has promised this, 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 and this. And I'll never forget one of the verses that really activated my faith was in the book of Exodus, chapter 23, verses 29 and 30. God is talking to a guy named Joshua, who was Moses' successor. When Moses died, Joshua was given the task of leading the entire nation of Israel into battle to fight for the promised land. They were going to go across the Jordan River into Jordan, into Israel, and they were going to have to take on some tribes that were already living there. And Joshua thought, I can't do this. Me? I have no ability to do this. This is too big a task. The dream is too big. The goal is too big. The vision is too big. I can't do this. I'm inadequate, God. And he was giving God all these excuses. And in Exodus 23, verses 29 and 30, God says to Joshua, Joshua, you know, these enemies, they're bigger than you. But I'm not going to give you the whole land in the first year. You're going to take it over a little bit at a time, little by little. I call it pacing growth, so that as you take it over one battle at a time, you're growing stronger. And then when you're strong enough to handle it all, you'll get it all. You'll get all the blessings I intended for you, but you're not going to get them all at once. And it's going to happen over your lifetime. And then when I read that, it was like a promise coming directly to me. I thought, okay, I don't have to accomplish this all in the first year. I'm going to spend the rest of my life serving Jesus Christ, and I'll do it on his timetable at his pace, and he can do whatever he wants to with my life. That gave me confidence to take on enormous goals. What happened? The word activated my faith. Number four. The fourth thing that the Bible can do in your life is it stimulates my growth. It stimulates my spiritual growth. It recreates my life. It lets me start over. It gives me a fresh start, born again. It eradicates my guilt, wipes the slate clean. It activates my faith. And then as I start growing, it stimulates my growth. I love this verse in Acts chapter 20 where Paul says to the people in the city of Ephesus, I commit you to God and to the word of his grace. He says, I've got to leave. He was getting ready to leave. He was never going to see these people again. And as he's leaving the Ephesians, he says to them, I'm going to commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up. Circle that. That's stimulating my growth. The word can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified. What does that mean? Give you inheritance among all those who are sanctified. Well, you know what an inheritance is. An inheritance is what you get for being part of a family that's rightfully yours. Now, let's just say your father was Warren Buffett. Okay? And let's say Warren Buffett was your father and he writes a will. What if you went through your, and he dies, and what if you never, ever took the time to read the will? That would be called dumb. Because you would not be getting in on all that was rightfully yours. You would not be benefiting from that which belonged to you as a child of Warren Buffett. You would not be able to enjoy the blessings of the Buffett family because you don't even know about it. When you become a follower of Jesus, when you put your life in Christ's hand, when you trust him for salvation, you're not just a believer, you're a belonger. You become a part of God's family. And now you get family privileges. There are family responsibilities and there are family privileges. And you, the Bible says, have an inheritance, a spiritual inheritance that you're going to gain from God, not just here on earth, but eternally in heaven. And by the way, God's richer than Warren Buffett in every area. Now, what if you go through your entire life not knowing the power, the opportunities, the blessings, the benefits that are available to you as a child of God, and you never even took the time to know what they were? That would be dumb. Because God says, I want to stimulate your growth and give you the inheritance that you have as my child, that which rightly belongs to you. Let me show you another verse. 2 Timothy 3:15, 16, and 17. We looked at this verse last week. All scripture is God-breathed, theopneustos, God-breathed, and is useful. Now notice it says four things. Useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Now, so that, and if you were in small group this week, you know that that's called a henna clause in Greek, so that, here's the purpose of the Bible. So that the man or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. The purpose of the Bible is to help you to live out the purpose God has for your life. The purpose of the Bible is to help you live out the purpose God has for your life. That you will be thoroughly equipped, that you'll have all you need, you'll be fully prepared, you're ready to face life, and you're not insufficient for life. You've got everything you need to take on life. And he says, the way God gets you ready for life, the way God gets you ready for his purpose is through the Bible. And the Bible does four things. He said, it's for teaching and rebuking and correcting and training. Now, let me explain that in a little different way. Teaching is God shows me the path to walk on. That's teaching. Rebuking is when God shows me how I got off the path and I'm now in the ditch. That's called rebuking. Correcting is how I get back on the path, the right path for life, for my life. And training is how I stay on the path and don't fall off in the ditch again. That's what those four things are. Let me say it again. The Word of God is profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Teaching is it shows me the path to walk on. Here's the way to make it in life. Rebuking shows me where I fell off the path and fell in the ditch. Correcting shows me how to get back on the right path. Correcting in training in righteousness shows me how to stay on the path. That's the way the Word of God helps me grow. Now, the fifth way that God uses his word to change me, in all of these ways, he recreates my life, eradicates my guilt, activates my faith, and stimulates my growth. The fifth way is he uses the Bible to illuminate my mind. God wants to illuminate my mind. Pastor Tom is going to come and talk about illuminating our minds with the Word of God.
So how does it work? How does God turn the light on? Look at this next verse in your outline. Psalm 119, 130 says, understanding your word brings light to the minds of ordinary people. So God wants to use his word to bring light to every one of our minds. It's not, enlightenment isn't just for one age of people or one class of people. God wants to bring light to every single person. He wants to light up our minds with the truth of who he is, with the truth of the next step, next direction to take in our lives, with the truth of how to handle the feelings I'm having, with the truth of how to handle the relationship difficulties or the relationship successes that I'm having. He wants to bring light to our lives. Now, how does he do that? How does he turn the light on in our lives? So some of you may have opened up the Bible and thought, I didn't get any light out of that. It didn't happen. Sometimes it happens immediately, but more often the light dawns on you. It comes slowly. And the way that it does that, look at this next verse up on the screen. Psalm 119, 99 says, I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. Focus on that word, meditate. Well, first Psalm 119, you notice a lot of the verses are from Psalm 119. It's not only the longest chapter in the Bible, it's also a chapter that's all about the Bible. So that's why we look at it a lot. And that reminds us that meditation is the key to turning the light on many times. When you soak your mind in the Word, we learned about this last week. Rick talked about it. We learned about it in our small groups this week. We talked about how to meditate, how to pronounce it. All these meditation methods that we're going through, meditation isn't losing your mind to the universe. It's focusing your mind on the Word of God. All of these are so that God can turn the light on in our lives. It's what He wants to do in my life. It's what He wants to do in our lives. And when you soak your mind in the Word, He turns the light on. He helps you to see things with a different perspective in a different way. And once that happens, then He gives you the opportunity to do something else. Psalm 119, 105 says this, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." He turns the light on so that we can have direction in our lives. A lamp for our feet, a light for our path. Now, to turn the light on in your life, one of the great things you can do is pray prayers related to God's word, related to the Bible. In fact, one of them is our memory verse for this next week. Psalm 119, 18. "Open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law." You got it. Give yourselves a hand.
The sixth way that God changes my life with His word, this is a big one. It elevates my moods. It elevates my mood. And some of you really need a mood elevator right now, because you're down in the dumps and you're feeling a little grumpy and you're feeling like nobody cares and you're having a pity party of one and inviting yourself. Whenever you get discouraged, you don't need a coffee break, you need a word break.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions we didn't have time for today, simply go to PastorRick.com or iTunes and download our podcast to listen again. Rick's going to be back in a moment with a final word of encouragement. Pastor Rick Warren says that the ultimate purpose of the Bible is to change our lives, and that the road to change begins with studying God's Word. Rick says that it's not enough just to love the Word and learn the Word. He says we must live the Word too. That's why he's created a tool to help you do just that. It's called the 40 Days in the Word Study Kit. The kit includes a 6-video session DVD and a 206-page 2-color workbook. In the workbook, you'll find 6 easy-to-learn methods for reading and meditating on Scripture. These are the very methods that Pastor Rick uses in his own personal daily quiet time, a personal 40 Days in the Word journal, and Bible verse memorization cards with the 20 Bible verses every believer should memorize. You'll also find a special section called How We Can Know the Bible Came from God and a guide for choosing which translation of the Bible is right for you. We'll send you a copy of the DVD and workbook as our way of saying thanks so much for your financial support of Daily Hope. And now here's Rick with a closing thought.
Did you know that there are people listening to Daily Hope broadcasts and following our message all over the world? Here's an example of an email from a listener that just came in from Brazil. He says, "Hi, Rick. My name is Marcelo, and I'm from Sao Paulo, Brazil. Every day I listen to Daily Hope on my way to work, and God has used your life to speak His truth into my life. Today I'll be speaking to a group of retail leaders from all over Brazil about living a life of integrity. Hope you won't mind, but I've translated a lot from your message, Living a Life of Integrity, to share with this group. That message touched me so much that I felt the need to share it with others." Well, that's so great, Marcelo. I'm so proud of you. You're being a light for Jesus Christ in His workplace. You're sharing a message of hope with business people. That is just fantastic. Now, I want to say everybody can do the same thing. It doesn't matter where you work. You can share the message of Daily Hope or any of these Daily Hope messages with your coworkers and your friends, and I want to encourage you to do that. And when you do, let me know about it. Be sure to write me and tell me your story, just like Marcelo did. Email me today, rick@pastorrick.com. Thanks for listening to Daily Hope today.
Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.